We begin in prayer. Lord, we pray as we have sung, Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. For you know, Lord, you know this world and in all its distractions and temptations. You know the cleverness of the devil to tempt us. Lord, you know us and our own propensity to turn away from you. So, Lord, we pray again, keep us steadfast in your word. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Jeremiah has a problem. You might have the problem too. In Jeremiah's case, he was called to preach God's word as a young man. Jeremiah's response was to say, Lord, I'm too young to speak your word. But God assures him, God will be with him, God will protect him, God will deliver him. With those assurances, Jeremiah says, okay, I'll preach your word. If you'll be with me, if you'll deliver me. In fact, God even says he'll make Jeremiah a fortified city, an iron pillar, a bronze wall. And he assures him, your enemies won't prevail. I will deliver you. But 15 chapters in, it's not going well. God's given Jeremiah a pretty unpopular message to preach. The leaders of the nation, the people, they all hate him for it. They don't want to hear it. The truth offends them, so they seek to silence Jeremiah. But Jeremiah's faithful. He doesn't compromise the message to gain favor with those who oppose him. Jeremiah perseveres. For 52 chapters, the story is pretty much the same. In fact, do you know in all the 52 chapters of Jeremiah, there are only two people that respond favorably to his message that we have a record of? Jeremiah's faithful, Jeremiah perseveres, and Jeremiah, he's a man of God's word. Listen to those words again. Jeremiah says, your words were found, and I ate them. I took your word in. It nourished me. It became a part of me. Your words became to me a joy, the delight of my heart. So what does faithfulness and perseverance and a delight in God's word get you? In Jeremiah 15, it gets Jeremiah persecution, insults and dishonor. He says his pain is unceasing, his wound won't heal. He's the target of the wicked and the ruthless. Jeremiah's problem is he knew God's word, he took it to heart. He faithfully fulfilled his vocation, and yet he suffers. And he's wondering, where's the presence God promised? Where's his protection? Where is his deliverance? Jeremiah tells God that he reminds him of a stream that appears after a thunderstorm that promises life-giving water, but before he can even get a drink, it dries up. To put it bluntly, Jeremiah complains. He says, God, I've done my job. When are you going to do your job? Can you relate? You raised your kids in the church. You brought them every Sunday. You got them baptized. You got them confirmed. You prayed for them. And yet that child now will have nothing to do with the church. You got the spot checked out as soon as you noticed, and you prayed, and you asked your Bible study group to pray, and you feel like God really gave you his peace, and you felt good about the situation, and the doctor called and said, you need surgery immediately. You said, I do. Swear to God, for better or for worse, till death do us part. You supported him as he pursued his dreams. You raised three kids. He became successful and informed you he was unhappy. You told him you wanted to work on marriage. He said, no, I'm getting a divorce. You were faithful, you persevered, you clung to God's word, and now you're a single mom of three kids. Where is God's presence, God's protection, God's deliverance? Corrie ten Boom can relate. She grew up in a Dutch family of watchmakers. Every day in this family business, they would gather with several of the workers that would join them for a morning devotion. They would hear God's word, and they'd go about their work of the day. When the Nazis invaded, they built a false wall in their home so that they could hide Jews, and they helped those Jews escape. But a neighbor turned them in. They were arrested. Corrie's father died within several weeks. Corrie and her sister Betsy was a woman of great faith. They were sent to the concentration camps where Betsy died. The only reason we know the story is that Corrie was released because of a clerical error. Several weeks after her release, she got word that her entire barracks had been put to death. It's Corrie ten Boom that said to God, "It's no wonder you have so few friends. Look at how you treat them." It can feel uncomfortable to speak to God this way. But in fact, that's part of the solution when you find yourself with Jeremiah's problem. The solution could be described actually in just two words: speak and listen. Speak. I have a friend, we'll call her Sandy. Sandy spends a lot of time with two of her grandchildren. They're both toddlers. And being toddlers, there will be a meltdown or two during the day. One will be crying and flailing and screaming and looking terribly unhappy, not listening. And Sandy, in her grandmotherly wisdom, will pull the child aside and gently but firmly tell the child, "Use your words. Use your words." Y'all, something magical happens at this point. Unbelievable. The toddler begins to calm, takes a deep breath, and then speaks pure, unfiltered, honest truth. "I didn't like you telling me to clean up, and I didn't want to clean up, so I threw the book. I wanted to play with the ball he was playing with, so I took it." Kids don't know better than to try to polish it up. As long as the child is throwing a tantrum and is caught up in their own righteous indignation, we're kind of stuck. But when the child uses his words, now it's out there. Now we can address it. Now we can call for an apology, for repentance, perhaps give some understanding. But the moment changes from righteous indignation to often repentance, to peace, to a return to joy. You know, adults throw tantrums too. We're a little more sophisticated when we get older. We typically don't throw ourselves on the ground and flail and kick and scream. But we do grumble a little. We mope around. We become a little more matter of fact. We pray a little less. We find no joy in God's word. What feels uncomfortable at that moment is to use our words. We know we're not supposed to react this way. We're supposed to trust God no matter what. We know we're not supposed to be angry. We're not supposed to question. But as long as we're throwing our tantrum, even our prettied up adult tantrum, we get stuck. It's not until we use our words that we lay it out there honestly. We tell God what we really think, that anything gets resolved. Jeremiah uses his words. He tells God what he wants. Verse 1, "O Lord, you know, remember me and visit me. Isn't that truly what we want? When we're suffering, yes, we want the pain to end. But even more, we want to know, God, you remember me. You've not forgotten me, have you? God, visit me. I need to know you are still in this. And Jeremiah tells God what he doesn't like. God, I don't like that this confusion has left me in pain, a pain I cannot heal. Jeremiah speaks honestly to God. He's used his words, and now his issue can be addressed. Now he's ready to hear God speak. Which brings us to our second word. The first word, speak. The second word, listen. Jeremiah 15:19 says, therefore, thus says the Lord. You know, when it starts that way, you kind of have to get ready, right? Like, okay. If you return, I will restore you, and you shall stand before me. If you return, I will restore you. Return. What's that tell you? Oh, you've lost your way. You've lost your way. It happens to us as human creatures. We shift from trusting God's word to putting more weight on our circumstances to determine what is really true. We lose our way. It's time to repent, to rethink again how we're approaching life. Lamenters are often wrong, but lament's important. Going through lament, we arrive at repentance. And in repentance, we're open again to hearing God's word of life, hearing his perspective, receiving his hope. The Lord says, if you return, I will restore you. I will restore. Listen to what he says. I will make you a fortified wall of bronze. Wait, that's what he told him way back in chapter 1, a wall of bronze. God's promise is still true. God says, they shall not prevail over you, for I am with you to save you and deliver you. I will deliver you and redeem you. Y'all, this is how God treats his children. He never withdraws his promises. His word never fails. Though we doubt, though we lose our way, though we get overwhelmed with our circumstances, though we complain, though we throw a tantrum, God does not waver. He is for us. Jeremiah's solution to speak and to listen is your solution. Speak. Don't worry about saying it correctly or making it sound just right. Just speak honestly. If you're feeling a little timid, read the Psalms. Read Psalm 13 and be shocked at how the psalmist spoke to God. They spoke honestly. Lord, I don't understand. Where are you? When will you come and deliver? But you have something Jeremiah could only look forward to. You have a Father in heaven looking over you. You know that you have the Son of God, Jesus himself, interceding for you. You have God's very Spirit dwelling within you and taking your groanings and your cries and putting words to those cries as prayers to your Father in heaven. So speak. Speak honestly. And then listen. And then listen. And hear again the good news of a Father in heaven who so loved his people that he sent his only begotten Son to visit, to come close, to take on flesh and blood, to go to a cross, to stand between us and our worst enemies, to defeat sin, death, and the devil. God has come, God has delivered, and Jesus is coming again, and he will deliver forever one day. Your enemies will not prevail. The sufferings you currently experience will not last. We come to his table and we're assured he is present. He is with us. And the words of the liturgy taken from the scriptures is that we remember. We remember Jesus' death for us. But in remembering, we're reminded that he's remembered us. He's remembered to feed us, to strengthen our faith, to fulfill his promise to be with us. Admiral Jim Stockdale was the highest-ranking military officer in the Hanoi Hilton, the POW camp in Vietnam. He was tortured over 20 times during his 8 years there. When asked how he survived, when he had no assurance that he would ever be returned home, he said this. He said, "I never lost faith in the end of the story. I never doubted not only that I would get out, but also that I would prevail in the end." He was asked, "Who didn't make it out?" He said, "The optimist." The optimists were the ones who said, "We're going to be out by Christmas," but Christmas would come and go. "We're going to be out by Easter," but Easter would come and go. "We're going to be out by Thanksgiving," but Thanksgiving would come and go. He says ultimately they died of a broken heart. He says this, "You must never confuse faith that you will prevail in the end, which you can never afford to lose, with the discipline to confront the most brutal facts of your current reality, whatever they may be." Again, brothers and sisters, we have the assurance of God's word. We know the end of the story. We know that we will prevail, not in our own strength, but by grace through faith. That Jesus has already defeated our enemies, and when he returns, his victory will be made crystal clear to the whole world. All wrongs will be made right. He will redeem. He will deliver. And so we speak, and so we listen, and we hear again his word for us. Amen. Father, we thank you for the example of Jeremiah, who points us back to you, to the one who's given us your very own son, to the one who fulfills his promises, to the one whose word is true. Lord, strengthen us in faith amidst our suffering. Remind us of the one who has suffered for us, who has not stood far off, who has not been indifferent, who has not been absent, but in fact suffers for us and with us. We pray in his name. Amen.